Please note that the information and advice provided via the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed or substituted for professional medical advice, counselling, or any other type of therapy or professional advice. I do not provide specific medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And if you have any concerns about a medical condition, please consult with your GP or other qualified healthcare provider. Please do not disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something you've heard whilst listening to this podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Rada.
And I'm Giles.
And we're your trusted guides for the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast. The podcast that helps you remember, relearn, rediscover and be inspired by others about what might help you feel good on this journey that we call life.
And we're starting right now on our journey to discover those things you forgot were good for you and inspire you to remember them. So without further ado, let's talk about this week's theme.
Our guest today is Nick Newman. Nick is the CEO of the National Careers Week, a fantastic celebration of all things careers guidance, and aims to support young people leaving education and moving on to employment. He came up with the idea for National Careers Week in 2010 after a conversation about how to help students find effective choices about their future career. The first National Careers Week was born the following year with just a handful of schools and has grown into a massive annual event that's run every single year.
Well, Nick, it's so lovely to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. For the uninitiated of our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Nick Newman. I am the, for my sins, the founder and the CEO of something called National Careers Week, which is basically a celebration of careers pathways, advice, guidance, education, information. It's all about giving young people quality information about kind of career pathways and the world of work, so ultimately they can make better informed decisions about their futures.
Yeah, incredible. That I love that summary. And it's that and so much more as well, isn't it? Because I think when most people hear the word careers, they just sort of think about jobs. Oh, this is just for the job bit of your life or the work bit of your life. But actually, you know, for me, careers and what you do is actually so much more, because it's about helping and supporting young people to work out their direction and their purpose in life and their kind of why, and all of their, you know, kind of bringing out all their amazing attributes and their natural skills that they have and kind of bringing those to the fore, really. So for me, it's much more about purpose and direction, and kind of almost enabling that person to be like, do you know what, maybe I could do anything that I want to do, and maybe this aspect of me that someone else has labelled as not being very useful or very important, or society doesn't really value in terms of financial gain, maybe actually that's something which I can make the most of.
You know, you're spot on with that. There's a real difference between, as you rightly say, jobs and actual kind of careers, and even the word career is a little bit kind of defunct these days. I mean, it's about journeys. You know, that's really what it's about. And you're absolutely right in saying that part of the, I suppose, unlocking the jigsaw is recognizing within yourself certain skills. And young people are not very good at that. And that's where they need help. You know, they don't recognize some of the skills that they have and that they've accumulated already. So, you know, you talk to a young person and they say, oh, yeah, well, I don't really have any skills. And then you start to talk for them for, you know, 5 minutes and you realize, well, you've got great communication skills. You know, your multiple platform conversation skills are unbelievable. I don't know how you can keep a conversation going, you know, on every platform under the sun, you know, and still make sense of it all, because I can't. And things even like, you know, the gaming, the eye-to-hand coordination, you know, stuff like taking the family dog for a walk every morning. That means you're getting up, shows commitment, you know, it shows resilience or weather, you know, it shows that you can be relied upon, you're trustworthy, you know. all these skills, actually, when you go into and take them into the world of work, are really super important for employers. And I think that's our job, you know, with young people, is to beef them up, let them realize, you know, I'm absolutely sick and tired of hearing people talking about Generation Z as kind of snowflakes, or, you know, this horrible word of woke. Well, thank goodness they are, because maybe the future will be a better place. You know, maybe when Gen Z are actually the ones that are in control, you know, it will be a kinder, a place where there is more empathy in the world, you know. And actually, you know, we have got thoughtful people, because when I talk to them, you know, I talk to them about what their kind of visions are, what sort of roles they want to do out there. And it's never about money, never comes into it, ever. It's always about, I'd really like to make a difference. I'm really worried about the planet. You know, I'm worried about my fellow human being, my peer group. And, you know, wow, you know, that gives me a lot of hope. And so you're absolutely right, Radha. It's about the personal skills, those skills that are locked within that they don't often recognize, and helping them unlock those, because it, you know, isn't about a job and going job to job. It's about a journey, and it's about collecting, almost a bit like the gamification of your life. It's like collecting super skills on your way, you know, and then you can apply them across a whole breadth of different jobs. Don't worry about jobs, you know, crumbs, you know, who knows what job they want to be doing in 10 years, you know, no idea. And they shouldn't be burdened with that kind of worry.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And obviously at the beginning of that, you said about journeys, and I wanted to ask you a bit about your journey. Like, how did you get to be where you are now? Tell us a little bit about your journey, Nick.
Wow. You know, this people start switching off now, Giles.
Not at all. Not at all.
Do not switch off.
What's Nick's journey? Oh, goodness. Education didn't really work for me that well, if I'm perfectly honest. So my journey was, I came from a single parent background in East London when it wasn't gentrified and it wasn't a cool place to live at all. It was quite harsh. And it was a harsh environment. You know, I remember the days of being scared walking into school because I didn't know who, you know, if there'd be a fight or someone would jump me. You know, that was kind of the fear I grew up with as a young lad. And then they moved out. Well, my mum moved out into the country, and it kind of, life got better, to be honest. It got simpler, which was nice. A lot of worry went. And I find that kind of my journey is definitely all over the place, a bit crazy paving rather than kind of linear. And I continue to have kind of problems, I guess. I think I've always been a bit of a, I suppose, an anti-rule kind of person. You know, if someone said, don't do that, I kind of was, I questioned that always. So, you know, I was never going to join the army, that's for sure. I got into a bit of difficulty at secondary school, had to leave the school I was at, finally made my way to in the old days we had polytechnic. So I went to Brighton Polytechnic to study a degree course. And after a year and a half, thought, why am I doing this? You know, I wasn't really enjoying it. And I think that's always been, maybe I over-question kind of stuff in life, but I find that I am where I am because of all the things that went wrong rather than necessarily all the things that went right, you know. So they make me the kind of guy that I am now, and I hope make me a little bit more understanding and empathetic to people that have had the same issues or kind of face barriers, because I realize how temporary those barriers really are.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think that we obviously see failure as being a very negative thing, whereas I always kind of find failure as being quite a positive thing, because it's in those moments of failure, or, you know, in quoted failure, that we grow as humans and individuals. And like, obviously for you, you know, it was, I totally empathize with you. I struggled at school. I only got one GCSE, which was in English, ironically, and then I ended up being a writer. So I think there's always something that we are good at, but sometimes it takes us a little while to discover that.
Yeah, so right in that, and I don't want to kind of keep overplaying that word journey, but that's why it is a journey, you know, because it's the classic, isn't it? It's like you're in this car, you're driving along, it's like, oh, I don't really enjoy this landscape. Now, you know, do you just stop and just say, oh, this was all a bad idea, or do you go around the corner where you suddenly discover, you know, nirvana, you know? Yeah. It's like you do not know what is around that next corner. You have to keep going, and you have to believe that we are here for a reason. You know, I'm definitely not a religious person. I just believe that I feel that I can make things a little bit better. you know, and if I can make things just a little bit better for someone, you know, job done, I'm happy.
Perseverance, I think, is one of the most important life skills, actually, that we all have to try and develop and understand. But I also think, you know, just hearing your story and lots of other people's stories, you know, lots of people that I know in a different way, potentially in terms of different context, but it's not just about that. There are so many ingredients, aren't there, to sort of having a life where you feel you're following your purpose, or you're thriving. And one of those is those kind of those skills, building those innate skills and that person. But it's also about the environment, isn't it? And the context. And, you know, like a plant, if you put a plant with the right water in a dark room, even if it's got potential to be a beautiful plant, it's not going to necessarily thrive. And it's like you say, it's sometimes our society has these ideas around, you know, what school life looks like, what success looks like. You know, you should learn in this certain way. You should do exams in you know, according to how we say exams are done. Yeah. This is what, you know, this is how you learn and this is how you achieve. And that doesn't suit everybody because we're all completely different. And I've always found that really bizarre. And I still find that bizarre that we take those messages of that sort of templated life into our adult life as well. You know, what, you know, you should get married and you should have a house and you should have a job and you should tick, 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 tick. And then you think, one day you think, oh my gosh, what is all this about? what is this template? And who's actually achieving this template? And even if they are achieving it, what, like, actually, is it something that's nice or happy? Or, you know, so it's all about, I think, trying to help people realise that, you know, templates are not all that. And I don't actually know who's constructed these templates in the first place.
Well, you know, now look, that's a really deep question. You know,
you know me, Nick, I always come up with deep questions. Yeah, I don't mean to, it just happens.
it's really interesting because you're absolutely right. You know, look, we're here for a finite amount of time. Okay, so who are we here to please? At the end of the day, that's, to me, you know, what everyone's, you know, what is the meaning of life? That ultimately the meaning is what you make, you know, that's the meaning. The meaning is what you as an individual make of it all, because it is complex. And as you rightly say, it's the complexity is kind of enhanced by it being overlaid with so many layers of these templated kind of must do's or kind of rules and regulations. And I don't want to sound like, you know, this kind of supreme anarchist, but at the end of the day, then they're of no benefit really, apart from to a few. So you have to question every rule, every regulation, and bring it back to yourself and say, well, look, as long as I'm not doing bad, as long as I'm not harming anyone, as long as I'm, you know, not being a destructive force, you know, then actually, why shouldn't I decide my own path, my own, you know, templates? I mean, templates, in my mind, that says rigid, you know, and life isn't rigid. You know, life has to be flexible, and our approach to the problems that we kind of face out there, you know, we need that flexibility, because we need to go over, around, under. You can't keep going through, you know, that batters you, that knocks you back, it knocks your confidence, it knocks your energy, you know, it's a negative force. You can't bash through barriers. You have to solve problems. And I guess that's what I love about life. I love people ultimately coming to me with a bit of a problem. You know, I love finding solutions to stuff. There are always solutions to every single problem, you know, and it's just the challenge of sometimes you can work it out on your own. Sometimes it needs teamwork. Sometimes it needs friends, you know, but the solution is always there.
This is why I love Nick Newman. This is why I had to get you on our podcast. So you're talking a little bit about your journey. How did you make that step into sort of National Careers Week and that, and focusing, I suppose, on young people and their development? What was the step there?
I guess it's back to the problem solving again. So my own personal journey had been really poor careers advice, not really knowing what I should be doing, flitting from one job to another. I fell into an old school kind of educational publishing company, a little bit dull, but opened my eyes up to kind of careers information and the fact that it even existed as kind of some kind of subject matter out there. And then I can remember actually very clearly, it kind of all, my own personal journey sort of really took off. I was working at this very kind of old fashioned publishers. And I was looking at all this stuff that they were putting into schools that were telling them about, you know, future jobs and all this. And it was the time where MTV had kind of just really hit Europe big time. And I was like, why are we kind of giving young people books about futures? You know, why aren't we doing things like video? You know, why aren't we telling them in a different kind of media, the story that's more relevant to them? And they were like, Nick, look, we're a good old Cambridge established, you know, educational publishers. You know, we're not, we don't make films, you know, we're about books. And I said, well, you know, I really think we should be doing videos. And they were like, no, absolutely not. So I just left and I just thought, do you know what? I kind of want to pursue this. And it was by pure chance that I bumped into the financial director of the business who had left like a week before. And he was like, what are you doing, Nick? I'm like, I want to make this video. And he's like, have you ever made one before? I'm like, no. And he's like, well, what's it about? And I'm like, I want it to go into all the schools and I want it to kind of show them different kinds of jobs, you know, from a peer-to-peer kind of point of view, young people telling their day in the life of kind of story. And he was like, it sounds totally mad. I'll help you. And from that journey, I realized, A, people need help, and B, don't be afraid of taking on stuff you've never done before. And so to wind the clock forward, that was me diving into then sort of careers media. And off the back of that, I created something called Careers Box, which then was going for donkey's years, which basically was a free online video platform for schools. These little 3 minute a day in the life of job kind of films. And we got about 300-400 of these little films over the years up to schools. And some of them are still using them now in schools. But so it was this kind of careers media sort of journey I took. Then one day, whatever government decided, as they do, that we used to have an old service called the Connection Service in the UK. And back in the day, people might be old enough to remember that every secondary school had a little office tucked away, and inside there was someone called the Connections Officer, and that person looked after, gave you a bit of careers advice and a bit of pastoral care advice, kind of external to the teaching group within that school. And sadly, the government cut all the funding ultimately to youth services at that time, and these offices just disappeared, these people just disappeared, and this safety net just disappeared. And overnight, suddenly there was the danger that young people would not get any kind of careers advice or information at all. And I just went onto Twitter. It was very early days of Twitter, and I set up something called the Save Careers Campaign. And before I knew it, all these kind of ex-Connections kind of officers were all joining in and saying, well, look, how, what can be done? And that was really how National Careers Week was born. It was to really keep careers alive in schools with free information and free guidance with volunteers, and making sure that young people could continue to have access to the kind of information they needed.
Wow. Good for you being an anarchist. That's all I can say. Yeah. There are a lot of young people out there who've benefited from you not listening to rules and just being a bit like, do you know what? This is not right. I'm going to do something about it.
I was reading something that did make me laugh, and again, I don't want to get too political, but someone had said, oh, it's great, you know, we've now got to work until we're 68 or something to get our pensions. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I can't think that kind of far ahead. And, you know, it does make you think, doesn't it, that, you know, how do you ever know what you're going to be doing just around the corner? That's almost kind of what I love talking to young people about, is that how exciting is your future? You know, you're going to be doing jobs that haven't even been invented yet. You know, it's like, wow, you know, what an exciting future.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so true. And I think that positive spin on it, for example, I think young people do need to hear kind of positive stories and outcomes. In 2023, where we are now, what kind of things are young people struggling with? What kind of things do they come to you, or do you hear that young people of in 2023 are kind of really having to deal with? I mean, you've obviously alluded to some of the things they're passionate about, i.e. climate change and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what things are causing young people to feel maybe a little bit, I don't know, discouraged right now?
It's a great question, Jos. I think it's no different to us, you know, in so many ways. I think they're bombarded by media. I think in some ways the pressures are a little bit different, in terms of I'm from a generation that still sees the television as kind of a source of a lot of media, television and radio. And I think that with the younger generation, it's like they cherry pick, you know, a lot more. I think that's kind of how social media works and how young people absorb their media. Is it's like, I know from my own kids, you know, they're like, what, you know, that they can't, I think they can't get their head around time-based media, you know, and my life runs around time-based media still, you know, still. And they're like, oh no, we're just watching this now, or we're going to watch this later, or I'm just downloading this. But ultimately, what they can't escape, I think, is still the pressures that do still filter through whatever media platform you're on. And that is, you know, war, negativity, unemployment, you know, really big issues, you know, that just still keep coming through from mainstream media. And I think, you know, that is so naturally still going to affect people of all ages, because they hear their parents and their carers talking and having conversations where they might be worried about, you know, the heating, the cost of living. All these things are real problems. And just because they're young, it doesn't mean they duck them or they can avoid them. You know, they are there. They are part of their lives too. And those, I think, are big concerns. You know, they can't even think about what kind of jobs are they going to be doing in the future, because actually they too are embroiled in the worries and concerns of the adults around them, because, you know, that's life. You know, you live in a house, you live somewhere, you know, you're going to be surrounded by conversation, you know, and that conversation at the moment, and sadly a lot of conversations in a lot of households around the UK are about, how do we pay for this, you know, how do we get through to this time, you know, how am I going to get to put food on the table, you know, real basic concerns. And, you know, kids are going to school, you know, and this is not hype, but kids are going to school without having, you know, proper heating, without having proper meals every day. And, you know, it's a modern day scandal. And I don't want to bring it down, but those are genuine, real day-to-day concerns of a lot of young people. And you know, and we have to acknowledge that. And I think that's why we have to be positive, because we have to show them the light at the end of the tunnel. These are moments in time. That's all, you know. And when you're young, it's hard to think like that. You think the moment is everything. And that kind of horizon comes in very tightly to you. It draws in. And we've got to kind of flip that. I think it's our duty to kind of say, no, these are just moments. That's all they are, you know. And you know, chill out, calm down. Things genuinely will get better. History will show you that. You know, that's why I love history as a subject, because it kind of, it should be teaching us how to stop making the same problems.
It should be, yeah.
But maybe we can just use it as a reference point to show that things change.
Yeah, I think we also do children, young people, a massive disservice in that we don't realise, I think, how much they take in, how much they understand, how much they worry, how much they care. Yeah. And I think also as a result of that, we then think, oh, well, we're going to protect them, in inverted commas, by not telling them the truth or not giving them all the facts. Whereas actually that makes it worse, because that just increases the anxiety. But you know, because children, this is why I love Roald Dahl as an author, because Roald Dahl was very much just told the truth to children. You know, lots of characters in his books, you know, had dreadful things happen to them. Yeah. And that's okay. Children can accept that. Children can accept a lot of things if they're told the truth, and if they can sense the truth that's coming from people. They're not, you know, yeah, they can actually sense when people aren't telling them the truth. So I think we do them a massive disservice by not respecting their intelligence, their awareness. But also I think we do them a massive disservice by not giving them autonomy. And I think from what I've seen, so many young people, like you said, Nick, are worrying about all these different challenges in the world, quite rightly. I think one of the big things I've seen is that they feel powerless. They feel like they can't do anything to change it, and they don't have the autonomy or the control to make a difference. And I think what's so great about the work you do is that you're saying, no, you can make a difference. You can be heard. Your voice can be heard. You can be seen out in the world. And what you do actually matters. And I think with any problem, and we all know this, you know, if we have a problem and we feel like we can do something to make it better, then we feel better. And then we have that motivation, you know, our mental health is okay. If we've got a problem and people are telling us, no, there's nothing you can do about it, that isn't helpful.
No, you're absolutely spot on. You know, we've got to just keep going, you know, I can't add to what you've just said. I couldn't say it better myself.
That's also why I got you on the podcast today. Now, Nick, you are a super inspiring person. I met you because we had an idea, didn't we, to do a video about hope for National Careers Week a couple of years ago, because that felt like it was very much needed. And I think that was just before the pandemic, actually. I don't know if we had a premonition that something was going to come along the way, but we did a beautiful video and film about hope and the importance of hope. And I think what you were talking about before about being positive, I think you can can be positive, but in the reality, in the context of reality. So positivity is not toxic necessarily. It's actually, it can actually be based in reality, and it can be real. And I think sometimes when people hear the words, oh, just be positive, or they're like, no, 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 you know, positivity is a real thing, and that can happen in the context of challenge. What's that kind of one thing that you think we've forgotten about potentially, either for ourselves, for young people, for our society, that would do us a lot of good in terms of our well-being or our health, that we've just totally forgotten about or totally squeezed out of our lives and our consciousness?
So it's a great question. I have, and you'll be pleased to know, I have given it some thought. And I'll come back to, you've teed it up beautifully, because it is all around that word positivity. And I think it can be really scary. And you're absolutely right to kind of signal that out, because I think when people think about positivity, it's always seen as a big dollop. So it's seen as a big thing, positivity. And actually, do you know what? That's the kind of advice. If I was going to give any advice, that's the bit of advice I would give, is positivity comes in all shapes and sizes. And actually, a little spoonful of positivity, you know, goes a long way. And you mustn't be afraid of the word when you're not feeling positive. And I think that's the danger. It kind of does feel like, you know, it's a big grey cloud, even though it's so supposed to be, you know, such a force for good. And I think if you're in a negative place, and like you say, people start banding around, you know, put the word positivity, actually, it has a massively, you know, detrimental effect on your well-being and health. So for me, it's about coming back to basics. Positivity can be a really small thing, and actually it's best taken in small doses, in my opinion, and it will build up, and so you know, bring it back to the most basic small kind of things. And I talk about words like, kind of, you can't rediscover your naivety, but you can, I think, rediscover the awe, that first awe of discovery, that kind of, you know, I look out the window and, you know, I see the birds, and I can see them just as objects just moving around in my landscape, or I can actually concentrate on them, watch what they are doing, see their little characteristics, and actually the bigger picture has gone. I'm now zoomed into the smaller picture, and a little bit of positivity now has actually taken me out of, you know, a negative kind of headspace. So for me, without getting too heavy, I like the fact that positivity can come in small detail. It doesn't have to be this big picture. And it's those little details, whether it's a sunset, whether it's, you know, embracing the weather. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's bloody cold. Well, I tell you what, put an extra coat on, go outside and feel that cold air on your face, you know, just for a minute. You know, that little moment, I promise you, will stop you thinking about whatever it was you were thinking about before you stepped outside the door. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, I guess. You know, don't be scared of positivity when you're not feeling positive. It's actually, remember the little things in life, and, you know, and get pleasure out of the little details, you know, and they're out there in nature, and they're in there in objects. They're embedded in smells that might take you back to kind of happy times. You know, it's like, you know, open a can of Play-Doh, you know, sniff that, because I tell you what, you know, that'll take you right back to a classroom when you're seven, you know. And so there's so many little things we can do, I think, that can kind of build that ladder of positivity back up again, you know, rather than us being scared by a really big word when we're not feeling it.
Yeah, that's really lovely, Nick. And I've got one other question, actually, before we wrap up. But obviously, a lot of your work is about motivation and motivating people and young people. What motivates you on a day-to-day basis?
I think it's, we all take energy, don't we, from other people. Let's be honest, we're all pirates, okay? So I'm an energy pirate, all right? So, you know, you guys have given me good energy today, and that will carry me through the rest of my day. That's how it is. Good conversations, good positive energy from other people, I just absorb it, and I suck it up, I store it, and that keeps me going. And I think because I work a lot from home as well, I very much work in an insular sort of way. So that becomes really important to have these kind of conversations. So, you know, you're my therapy and my energy. So, you know, thanks for that.
Oh, well, likewise, Nick. Yeah, likewise.
I think that is so important, isn't it? And I was saying the same thing to someone actually a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, I've been working from home. I've just been on screens all day. I've just been doing a lot of sort of writing, a lot of kind of, you know, internal stuff, like you said. And I was like, I just need to get out and have a laugh with someone, or just to kind of, just to feel like someone. And I think that's the nice thing, isn't it? The energy, when you find people who've got those sort of similar values, energy, that sort of, that passion, those kind of beliefs, you start talking to them and you're like, oh, I've just got more energy. What's going? It's like a bit of a tank. You start kind of filling up and you're like, wow, why do I feel so good after I speak to that particular person? And why do I feel so bad when I speak to that other person?
No, it's so true. That is so true. And, you know, having spoken about trying to make people positive, some people you just can't make positive, and that's reality again in life. And, you know, and if certain people do bring you down, or certain places bring you down, or certain situations bring you down, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, take yourself away from those people, away from those situations, because they're not good for you. And life is too short. You know, why do you need that? It's back to your kind of analogy of templates. You know, why? Because you're in a friendship group. Does it have to be like that? Well, maybe that's not the right friendship group for you, you know, and take back control of your life. Take back control of your decisions and understand that ultimately it's not selfish worrying about your own well-being.
Yeah, I often kind of liken it to, you know, we're always told, you know, watch what you eat and all the rest of it. I'm like, well, watch what you watch, you know, and also watch who you're around, because just like you put food in your tummy, you're going to absorb the energy of the people that you're around. You're going to start kind of, you know, what they say, what they think, all of those things have a massive impact on your outlook on life as well. So it's really important to watch that also. I love what you said about positivity and making it really small and tangible, and not that idea of sort of zero, you have to go from 0 to 100. Be positive, like just now, go on, be positive. You're like, I can't do that, that's too much. That you know, the word positivity kind of conjures up this image of someone who's like beaming, full of energy, just like everything's great, no, there's no problems. Whereas actually, like you say, just breaking it down to these little small steps, these little moments of positivity, I think is so useful and less scary, more doable and more achievable, I think.
And it happens to us all. You know, I find some people really scary. You know, you think I'm positive, blimey, they're off the scale. And, you know, and actually that then has the detrimental effect. I don't want to be near them because I feel like the shadow is too dark.
I'm just getting this image of this person who's really, really positive, just going boo. And you go, oh my God, no, get away from me. You're too positive. I can't stand this. You're making me feel really negative about myself. But I mean, I've been to some National Careers Week events. I've done some stuff with you, and I've seen the impact that you've had on young people, your organisation, and your brilliant team. I've seen those students and those young people actually, you know, really change the way they think, what they feel they're able to do, and what they feel they're able to change in the world. And it is extraordinary. And you know, going back to sort of my careers advice and the kind of advice that I had or didn't have as a school child, I just, you know, it was non-existent basically. And it's that critical moment, isn't it, in someone's life where, you know, if one teacher or if one advisor comes up to you and says, do you know what? Why don't you think about this? Have you ever thought about that? And opens up this whole other world and completely can change the course of your life. And I think to all the teachers, careers advisors, all the people who are working in that sector, you make a massive impact on children's lives for the rest of their lives. And I think sometimes you don't even see the result of it, but I think it's incredible what you do.
They're a good bunch, you know, and I'm just, you know, I've learned that classic lesson of being a fantastic delegator and surrounding myself with people that are much smarter, more intelligent and more useful. And therefore it allows the careers family to be such a force for good.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nick. It's been an absolute delight to chat to you. Thank you so much. Keep doing your brilliant work. And thank you for being positive and giving us positive energy today. And thanks for being on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you to you and Giles. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Nick.
So that's the end of another Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's inspired you to go looking for all of the things that might help you feel a little bit better.
And hopefully we've inspired you to go looking for our podcast. You can find it on all good podcast platforms, probably some of the bad ones as well. You can also find us on social media. Our handle is Radha.
Yes, Giles, absolutely. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram @forgotpodcast. So go and find us there. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.